So, Professor Joanne Martin, Stanford University, Graduate School of Business, Department of Sociology. It's good to have you here and have a chat to you today. First off, I wanted to ask you, why is an understanding of the history of management important for students today? Why do they need to know about dead men? And one or two women.
I think part of the reason is that although the details of those old studies make them look very old-fashioned, the ideas that are in them are still alive and still believed by people who are powerful in business today. So if you disregard the details and you look at the deep ideas, you see that some people still believe those things today. And if you have read history and then have read the more recent works based on data that suggest that those historical assumptions are wrong, then you know not to repeat those mistakes. It's like that Santana quote where you I'm not saying it right, but that famous historian said that if you don't study history, it will repeat itself.
Yeah. So why is theory important for students? Why do students need theory?
As opposed to technique?
Yeah,
okay. Well, a lot of people like to teach techniques. Here are the 7 things that clever people do. Here are the 16 techniques for time management. And here are the 6 S's or 8 S's that McKinsey thinks are important. Those kinds of easy answers drive me bananas because they're tailored to fit a particular kind of situation and you're encouraged to apply them in a rather automatic way. But if you're in a different situation, and we'll all be in radically different situations 10 years from now, if you think about how rapidly technology, the movement to become more and more global and multicultural in our work, the changing face of international relations. Things are changing so rapidly. The techniques developed yesterday aren't going to be relevant in the future. It's very hard to tell people exactly how to solve the problems if those problems in that form have never showed up before. On the other hand, with a theory, what do you have? You really have a bunch of concepts, categories, things to recognize when you see them. And they may not be in the same configuration a decade from now, but those ideas will still be relevant. Those categories will be still there for you to recognize. And you can put the nouns together in a different order if that's what it called for, but you don't have a recipe. What you have is an understanding of the ingredients that you're going to cook with. And that stands the test of time far better.
Good. What have been the major changes, do you think, in management thought in the recent past?
I think the two I think of right away are differentiation and conflict. Take the idea of culture, organizational culture. In the 1980s, it was taught to us that cultures were unitary and that a strong culture where everybody believed the same thing as the leaders was a wonderfully inspiring thing and generated loyalty and commitment. Now, 30 years later, we have decades of research that show that, in fact, that presumption of unity is based on platitudes that aren't true. And that in any company in the world, even though there are some values that people share, there are also going to be strong subcultural differences. And those subcultural differences, for example, between marketing and engineering, are the kinds of differences that make companies work. If we don't understand the differences as well as the similarities, we can't understand how things function. Same thing in institutional theory. We had a very big, deep understanding of how institutions come to be structured the way they are and why organizations are so similar across country boundaries. But what institutional theory never taught us in its initial form was how to understand how institutions change, and yet we know they do. And so contemporary institutional theory is now focused much more on processes of change and conflict. Finally, the world is no longer dominated by white male men, if it ever was. And what we're much more conscious of is religious and ethnic differences and gender differences. And those things are not just additions of difference. They are teaching us to view the world in a way that doesn't silence the voices of people who have less power. And that is crucially important.
So what should be the major issues for the managers of the future?
For managers of the future in their work, you mean?
For management thinking.
I think all too often managers, particularly in publicly owned companies, focus primarily on the pressures of the market In order to look good, in order to keep their stock price high, they have to grow and grow rapidly. And oftentimes when they grow thoughtlessly. They just expand another set of 20 shops, another set of 20 different countries. And they find themselves radically unprepared for the differences across those countries. So they move into Africa and find out that all their cosmetics don't sell, lo and behold, because the skin colors are different. They go to Japan and find they can't sell sun lotion because people don't want to stay out in the sun and let their skin tan. Those are just two examples from the cosmetics industry, which I know, but there are other industries out there. And what we're going to have to do is become much more understanding of international differences. And as we do that, we're going to have to be, I hope and pray, much more conscious of the ways in which big corporations have come in and basically put small businesses in less developed countries totally out of business. And then when they found it no longer profitable to stay, they just leave, leaving people penniless, without jobs, leaving them in a worse shape than before they came. Capitalism needs to have more concern for the safety net. And in some countries, it does that and does it well. And in other countries, it doesn't do it as well. I'm from the United States, and I can tell you, we do not do it well. Our city streets are full of the homeless, and our unemployment figures don't count millions of people who've simply given up trying to get a job. Poverty is hereditary. It goes across 3 or 4 generations, particularly of African Americans. This is the underbelly of capitalism, and it's something that managers will need to focus on for capitalism's survival.
All right. To finish off, what 3 key words should describe the ideal manager of the future?
3 key words. Astute, far thinking, like far into the future. And the third one, at the risk of sounding female, compassionate.
Thank you very much, Joanne.